Hello and welcome to the Money Marketing Podcast. I'm Kimberly Dondo, Digital Content Manager. And in this week's Weekend Essay Podcast, we have feature writer Amanda Newman-Smith explaining why it may be important to get a taste into any prospective career you are hoping to go into. Take it away, Amanda.
When I was doing my GCSEs, everyone in my year had to do 2 weeks work experience arranged through the school. Some of my friends went to work with their parents, quite a few went into banks, and everyone who took child development GCSE, as I did, had to do work experience in a nursery. It was linked to the coursework. You had to complete a child study in a nursery environment, putting the developmental theory you'd learned into practice. In those days, I'd wanted to be a nursery nurse. I think it was linked to a flurry of births in my extended family after a long period where I was the only child. I'd seen two aunties who were more like my older sisters morph into parents at the point I became a teenager. After I'd visited them with their newborns on the maternity wards, I'd wanted to be a nurse. But once I proudly pushed my baby cousins in their prams and realised how fun they were to be with when they became mischievous preschoolers, I changed my mind and thought about owning my own nursery one day. I did work experience at the nursery my cousin attended. My auntie had put a word in for me with the staff, which was followed up with letters from myself and my school. It was great. I got on well with the staff and the children were fascinating. I didn't put a foot wrong. I asked parents for their consent to observe and write about their child. I did what I was told by the staff and felt chuffed at being trusted with a few hundred pounds to pay a bill for them at the post office. When my teacher visited to check how I was doing, the staff sang my praises. The report said I was welcome to come back at any time. But even though I was sad when the 2 weeks were up and missed both the staff and the children, I never returned. The reason? Even at 14, I realised I couldn't do it for the rest of my life. As we'd tidied up the classroom at the end of each day, I'd felt exhausted. Not just physically, but emotionally drained too. My colleagues were mothers with children around my age and treated me like one of their own from day one. I still look back fondly on our chats over cups of lemon tea while we watched the children play outside in the sunshine. But my colleagues and I were at such different stages in life, and that was an issue for me because I expected work to have a social element. I was an only child at an all-girls school and wanted to work with men as well as women. I wanted to meet different people my own age and expand my social life through work. That was never going to happen there or anywhere similar. Luckily, the following term my school did a simulation of a newsroom, and that's when I found my true vocation. The reason for my trip down memory lane is that I've been writing about work experience and internships in financial advice, which has made me reflect on how important it is. Something that Succession Wealth Group Human Resources Director Helen Blackmore said really struck a chord with me. She talked about how people aren't really given the opportunity to try out careers before they start shaping their studies around a chosen path. So as they go up the education system and inevitably focus on fewer subjects, unless they've had work experience, they don't really know if the career choices they're making are the right ones. As Blackmore says, we expect people to know what they want to do early on, when those choices aren't necessarily grounded in the reality of any given job. I don't think there's anything better than work experience or an internship to educate people about the reality of a job, as opposed to what they've been told about it or think it is. That is particularly the case with financial advice, as it's a hidden gem of a career anyway. Everyone talks about other professions benefiting from greater awareness among graduates than financial advice, so what better way to advertise a career in advice than work experience or internships? But unless young people are in the know already, most likely because a parent or other close relative is in the profession, it will not necessarily occur to them to go looking for work experience in this field. When I did a quick Google search of internships in financial advice firms, the opportunities that came up were mainly in other areas of financial services, like investment banks, rather than financial advice. I was disappointed but not surprised. I know some firms do provide work experience opportunities and internships, but usually to relatives of existing employees. I'd love to see more young people with no connection to the profession going into firms to learn what it's really like and eventually becoming trainees. And advice firms need to take the lead on that, but some firms aren't interested. I get that they may not think they have the time or the resources. These are difficult times. Everyone has plenty on their plate without piling on more. And as Blackmore says, there are safeguarding responsibilities that come with taking school pupils for work experience. I understand that some firms will not feel equipped to do that or lay on internships for older students properly, so would rather not go there. My husband works in construction, and his firm has an interesting way of dealing with young people who have no experience. None of the teams in the firm wanted to take trainees in their first and second years because their salaries were a cost to the team's budget and brought nothing to the table. Recognising that those in years 3 to 5 did add value, but you couldn't have that without the first 2 years in which they were a drain on resources, the firm effectively subsidised the costs. Those in their first and second years are now free to teams and only become a cost to their budget in years 3 to 5. That model wouldn't necessarily work for advice firms, but I think it underlines how important it is to invest in young people. If advice firms don't bother, they shoot themselves in the foot because all businesses need to attract young talent to ensure their survival. I think even worse than those who abstain from work placements and internships are firms who pay lip service to the idea of helping young people into a profession. I'm talking about those who offer a let's plonk this person down in the office so they can observe what we do kind of experience. We can dress it up as a shadowing opportunity to make ourselves feel better, but that kind of experience isn't worth offering. As harsh as it sounds, I struggle to see what the business and the workee or intern get out of it. In my experience, shadowing someone is only useful if you're going to get the chance to have a go at what they're doing, or at least some of it. For that to happen, firms need to plan what they're going to do with interns and for the tasks they set them to be useful and relevant. But that doesn't always happen. I know because I've been that teenager sitting in the corner doing nothing, waiting for someone to notice I'm twiddling my thumbs. That's shadowing for you. I also had an awful experience at a national newspaper. I'd asked to be put on features and I was placed on the fashion desk, but it was hell. They didn't plan or explain things properly, so I made a mistake. I didn't get a receipt from a courier who collected a £3,000 dress that had been on loan from a designer. Amanda, that's bad, very bad, I was told, scolded as if I was a puppy who had just peed on the carpet. We came to a mutual agreement that it wasn't working, so I left after 2 days. Advisors are characterised by their empathy, so let's empathise with work experience students and interns. When it's your first time being in an office where everyone seems to know everyone else, you're often unsure of yourself and what you're supposed to do. Do you ask for something to do, as the person managing you might have forgotten you? Or do you continue sitting there like a lemon, dragging out the last task you've been given because everyone else looks so busy? Should you join in with the jokes and banter around you, or be more reserved and focus purely on the task they've given you? Should you answer the phone beside you if it rings when you've only been there 10 minutes, because it's not going to be for you? In fact, how do you even answer the phone in this place? When I did work experience in the 1990s at my local paper, the East London Advertiser, it was the presenter Julia Hartley Brewer who took me under her wing. She was just starting out on her career at the time and was amazing at helping me ease into office life. I remember accompanying her to interviews with local residents in various situations and being in awe of how she could talk easily to anyone, regardless of age, ethnicity or accent. I was very shy at that time and modelled myself on her during my own local newspaper career. Another member of staff took me out on jobs and while away from the office gave me an introduction to office politics. I didn't realise how beneficial that was until recently, when I spoke to Dr. Helen Hughes, Associate Professor at Leeds University Business School, about internships. Students that have undertaken an internship then enter the graduate workplace with more experience of the social context of work, often have a better developed understanding of office politics and systems, she told me. But for that to happen, people need to engage with the work experience person or intern, not just go about their usual business as if they're not there. When we had a work experience student at Money Marketing many years ago, I made an effort to talk to her as a person, even though I wasn't her manager and had no responsibility for her workload. I took her out to lunch and we had a chat about what she wanted to do, her school, how I got into journalism and so on. I think that sort of interaction, where the young person is not just dealing with their manager but other members of the team as well, can be the difference between an okay placement and a good one. We can all do our bit to make these placements beneficial for everyone, instead of leaving it to everyone else.
Thank you, Amanda, for another great Weekend Essay podcast. We hope that you enjoyed it. Please do keep up to date with all our new releases via Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and everywhere else you get your podcasts from. You can also keep up to date with all our new content published on the Money Marketing website, as well as our print edition, Money Marketing Magazine, so make sure to subscribe. Follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. See you next time.